Good morning, family of God, and all those who are visiting online. It's great to come together around the person of Jesus Christ. And as you can see, we have come up into our worship hall for the first time, and we had that change in kind of location of worship in somebody's garden. That was an amazing time, just ministering to the Lord and receiving from his presence. But I'd also like to just say it's great to have any visitors that join us online. It's so good that we can join together, and I pray that you will be really encouraged and really strengthened as an individual, as a family, that in these times we so need the Lord. And one of the things I'd like to start with is about Father's Day, and just a short little thing before we move on about Father's Day. God is a Father. He's an everlasting Father. He's an eternal Father. And he's the Father of all who belong to him through Jesus Christ. And he's called the Father of all creation. He created all things. And the role of a father, whether you're old or young, whether you will have children in the future, however you are at the moment, your own state, the role of a father is so important in love and in bringing a revelation of God to the next generation, of really impacting them through your walk with him. And I'm going to pray for every dad out there that there'd be a fresh grace to be dad, a dad in Christ, to be a really good father. And I know that there are many demands on every dad, but I just know that there's grace to meet that demand, the grace of Jesus Christ, that when we come to him and pray, there can be a fresh grace to be the best dad that you can be for your kids, for your grandkids, just so that there's a real supply of teaching, understanding about how to walk with God in this generation. They see a dad who prays, a dad who worships. You're just so important to really pattern what it means to be a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just want to thank you for everyone that is listening today that's a father. And I just want to pray for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be upon them, that they would continually find grace to help to be the best dad. And find it in you, Jesus. Thank you that you modeled what it's throughout the scriptures, what a good father is like. A constant, unchanging, loving, gracious, merciful, teaching, instructing father. And I pray, Lord, just for a fresh grace for our dads to be strong in this generation and to raise children who really know what it means to follow Jesus. Today, for your glory, Father, and for the fresh supply of grace for every father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the first part of this morning, God really put it on my heart because it's something that I really felt this week. And there's been quite a few people I've been talking to on the phone or online or even in person, socially distanced, of course, that have been using this word, I'm really weary, I feel drained. And one morning this week when I was praying, I was kneeling by my bed praying, and I just said, Lord, I just feel so weary. It seems this season's going on so long. I've had personal challenges, and I'm sure you have, work and school and work challenges. Just the burdens of life and the pressures of life, and I can't wait to get out into way beyond this season of lockdown. And I'm sure your pressure points and the things that are happening in your life, whether you're alone or in a family, homeschooling, just working from home, being isolated from the normal kind of interactions with others. I really had a fresh word from God, and I want to start this morning ministering God's word and God's grace to you. Because I believe that God wants to strengthen the weary. And I know we talk about it quite often, but I kind of just want to give you a fresh picture. And it comes from my electric toothbrush. Just to give you an analogy of what my toothbrush sounds like when it runs out of power. And it starts off really well, but when it starts to diminish in its power, it sounds very weary, it sounds a bit drained, and it isn't able to give so much, and it isn't able to do so much. And the red light starts to flash, warning, warning, you need a recharge. And the sound goes from zzzz. And I think sometimes, you know, we all go through these seasons and times where we really do feel the kind of red light and this zzzz. Whether it's the pressure of work, you're just so tired, or just so many things to do, and then going through the season, we'll be known as the generation who went through a pandemic. And then there are all other stuff that's international stuff and upheaval going on. And God, he sees, and he says, you matter to him. And there is this well-known scripture from Isaiah 40 that says the everlasting God, he neither faints nor grows weary. So in other words, God never needs a recharge, but he's always available for us to receive a recharge. And with my toothbrush, all I have to do is connect it and put it in a place where it's able to be recharged and come back to the zzzz again. And I believe for every person listening who needs a recharge, who's gone weary and feels drained, or just soul tired, or spiritually tired, or physically tired, our God is able to strengthen the weak. And this is what he says. Don't think your way is hidden from me. I see. Don't think your just cause is passed over. I'm on your case. I am for you. And I will help you. And this is what he promises. I give power. Jesus says, I give power to the weak, and those who have no might, I increase strength. So when my toothbrush is in the right place, it is increasing strength. But the thing about God's power, it can come in really quickly. And I want us to pray together that those who are weary and in this moment, that we will come to a place to wait on him in this moment, to kind of, like that toothbrush into the connection, just put ourselves in God's hands. Trust in him and come to Jesus now. So I wonder if we could just pray. And if you feel like zzzz buzzed up in every area of life, pray for everybody else who's feeling zzzz. Because our God, he's a God who sees, and he doesn't want us to do life weary. He wants to renew strength. And we just come to a place right now, whether you're sitting or, I don't know, at a kitchen table or on a sofa, or you're out in the garden listening, just say, Lord, I'm just going to focus in on you and come to you in faith. Put my whole self, my whole being into your hands and get into receiving mode. And that's called faith, actually, to come to God to receive, to come before him and say, I'm here to receive. It's like standing under an open tap or sitting in a rechargeable place where you can receive the power that is necessary to go on. So I'm just going to pray, and let's pray together. But those who are weary, I just want you to receive. Just hear these words. I am the Lord who gives power to the weak. I increase the strength of those who have no might. And I am the one right now, as you trust in me, you who are weary, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you refreshing. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for an impartation of the life and power of your Holy Spirit, that those who've gone to a place of really feeling tired, drained, whether they feel they've hit a wall, that right now through your Spirit, your presence, and through your promise, you're renewing strength. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the strength of your people. Lord, give us an injection of power. Give us an injection of grace to endure this season, this time. For those who are battle weary, those who are in a faith fight, I pray, Father, that there will be a grace to endure and to stand. And having done all, stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your power, your strength, and your enabling. In this instant and in this moment, we receive the strength we need. Amen. Let's just thank him that he gives and has given power to the weak. To those who have no might, who are weary, he renews your vitality. So you've got vim and vigor, and that when you need to go and do what you need to do in life, you will be like my toothbrush, fully charged, zzz, full, ready, and able to go on. Thank you, you are the God who enables us to go on in strength, because out of weakness we are made strong in this moment. Bless your people with your strength. You are the strength of our lives, Lord, and our portion forever. Amen. Now, I know that this has been more of a ministry way to start this morning, but that's what God put on my heart. And you know, when I knelt down and received from this word by my bed, I got up going, ah, he renews. He renews my youth like the eagles. And I will come out of this time strong, because we've received the strength that we need from God. Now, for the rest of this time together, I want to kind of bring a bit of a family talk to the local church here. But if you're listening in, I believe it's not an accident. And I believe that God's word is relevant for all who are here listening. But I want to talk to us as a local church, as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, about one of the hot topics of our day and one of the most necessary topics of our day. And that is, I want to talk about racism. And it's a big subject at the moment. It's obviously causing a lot of and creating a lot of attention, which I believe it needs to come to our attention. And as pastors, when we first planted the church here, we always wanted a diverse church. We wanted different cultures, people from different backgrounds. And we're so proud. We really are proud to have black brothers and sisters, people of color, different cultures here in the body of Christ. And Galatians actually says that we're all one in Christ Jesus. We are black sons, white sons, young sons, old sons, all are sons, because sons have to do with being you receive an inheritance when you're a son, biblically speaking. And there are girl sons and boy sons, but it means we all are equal, equally loved in Christ, and we're all honored in the same way. And I believe that Jesus wants us to preserve the unity of the Spirit, and we keep together as a church, one body in Christ Jesus, whether it's local or international. But I want to say that, like me, I am confident that if you've seen the video clip of a murder that happened in the streets of America and the injustice, and subsequently there was another murder, it actually has affected you. And if it hasn't, well, let me say, you need Jesus to soften your heart, because those kinds of things, they're bound to. And I don't think anybody would be listening who has not been affected by what you've seen. There's such hate as well. It's produced a hate and a violence and a reaction But there's also been a genuine cry out for change, which we as a church support fully, the need for change in a non-violent, non-hate way. And we are not those who kind of bury our head and say something isn't going on. There needs to be something going on in our culture, in our day. But as a church, we need to also respond and know how to respond, not by understanding life through the lens just of what's happening, but we need to see life through the lens of Jesus Christ and Scripture. Because there are answers for everything in the Word of God. And I believe that I have an answer from the Word, light, that will help us to live in the way that Jesus wants us to live, both as a church family, where we are totally united together, black, white, whoever, and that we are also understanding how to respond to what's happening. And so my question isn't, are you racist? Although, if there is any infection from this wicked, kind of, I believe, Satan-inspired way of thinking and diminishing a certain race of people, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to bring change into our lives and into your life. But I believe we also need to really know how to be responding to what's happening. And in 1 Corinthians, I just want to speak about how Jesus sees us as the church. And we're called the family of God, but we're also called a body, the body of Christ. Where Christ is the head of the body, but we are actually all members of one body. So just as a physical body is made, joined up, so we as a church, the local church and also universal church, we are one body in Christ Jesus. And if you have a Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think this is really essential to hear the heart behind God's heart for people. In verse 26, it says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. In other words, I remember once when I broke my finger playing sport. I think it was netball or hockey or something. And let me tell you, the rest of my body knew about the pain that was in my finger. Pain's like that. It seems to kind of take over your whole body and you're conscious of it. And I think if one part of the body is hurting, the whole body responds. Or if there's trouble or infection going on in your body will work to bring healing to that part. It will do everything it can to resource the problem and see that become whole and healed. And yes, we know all lives matter. And I know that that is the mind of Christ for every single individual. Jesus came to save the whole world, not a particular culture. He didn't come and save a particular group. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And so our God is a God who loves everyone. Yes, all lives matter. But in any family, you can imagine, you know, some of our young families who we love dearly and miss greatly seeing everybody. If there are a few children in the family, if one of the children is hurt, I don't know, scrapes the knee or something happens, the parent will pick up that one child that's hurting. It doesn't mean that the parents don't love the other children. It just means the one that's hurting now needs love, comfort, and understanding. And that's how we are to function, no matter what the pain, someone else is going through. We are to function as Jesus called us to love one another, to supply what is needed in the part that hurts. And I know that you have suffered things like I have suffered things. And I've been so grateful for my Christian brothers and sisters who've got alongside and supplied kind of healing and encouragement and whatever is needed, prayer, just to go on and to be healed. And so all lives matter, but we need to talk about racism and to make sure that we're bringing the right answer to something that hurts a lot of people and diminishes a lot of people. And I realize I'm an imperfect vessel to bring this word to you. I know a lot of people have struggled to vocalize what to say. But all I can say is I believe the word of God, not just the way I bring it, but the word is the answer for every problem, and including this one. You know, online Zoom, we have kind of leaders meetings and with national leaders from Kingdom Faith. And one of our pastors who is black was telling us, we were talking about this issue that was going on and how real and how we need to understand. And this is in this country. I think we can look at America and say that's over there. But I think we need to bring this home. And this pastor really brought it home in a very clear way. He said, pre-lockdown, when we used to be able to just go into shops, although they are open again, but pre-lockdown, he went into a shop, and the security guard clocked him at the door, and he followed him all the way around the shop. And so basically, this pastor felt, right from the moment he walked in the shop, judged, diminished. He felt like he was being seen as a thief, as someone who was bound to do wrong because of their color. Now that's blatant racism. And when the pastor shared this, I just thought, I faced prejudice in many ways, but I just thought, I need to understand this. I need to walk a mile in his shoes and say, what does it feel like to go into a store and be judged like that in such a negative way? And so my question is, how many of our black brothers and sisters are hurting and experience this, or even worse, in our community here in the West Country and in our nation? I connected this message about suffering with those who suffer and walking a mile in somebody else's shoes with a book I read years ago when I was at school. Seems generations ago. My age. I feel so old when I think about how long ago that was. But anyway, we had to study a book for English literature called To Kill a Mockingbird, and I just remember that book so much. And it was kind of showing us a picture of a racist culture in the States, and a white lawyer was asked to defend a black man who was falsely accused of rape, and I think it would have resulted in the death sentence. And he was, I think, a single parent raising two kids. And he was a gracious man. It isn't a Christian book, but you could really pick out some stuff from it that actually I'm going to just tell you about something in the book. But he wanted to teach his daughter, who was beginning to pick up a bit of the culture of the day. And the little girl was starting to get judgmental about black people because she's picking it up from school, and she's picking it up from people who kind of diminished black people around her. And she started to get very prejudiced and very kind of judgmental and very superior. And her father said to her, And it made such an impact on me. That's why I'm sharing it. Because I believe this is the essence of what Jesus wants us to be like. He said to his girl, his little girl, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from their point of view. Until you climb into their skin and walk around in it." I love that. Climb into their skin and walk around in it. And that girl was essentially discipled by really the principles of God through that father who said, basically, you need to understand what's going on in a person before you can really help them, before you can really bring some good into their lives. And I'm so glad that Jesus, the greatest example of us all, for us all, that he didn't stay remote and uninvolved. He could have said, all your sin, all your suffering, future destruction that is coming into the life of all of us who have sinned. He didn't stay remote and out of the way. He stepped down. God himself became human. He climbed into skin. Isn't that incredible? And he walked around. And he experienced prejudice. He experienced suffering. And he experienced injustice to the extent that he was murdered on the cross as an innocent man, a perfect man. But actually, in that cross was the healing and the salvation for the whole world. And so Jesus doesn't understand what we go through. And our God is so relatable because God became man. We can understand who God is, and he understands our weaknesses. But he was without sin. And that's why he is a perfect savior and the only one who can rescue us from our sin and our ways. But this book never left me climbing into someone's skin. And I, in anybody's issues in life, I try and kind of imagine what it's like so that I can get a heart for them and in their situation. And I think that's what we need, first of all, is to come in with a right heart and say, hey, maybe there is a problem that I mustn't stay remote about. I need to kind of say, I care enough to understand and walk around in your shoes. Like my black pastor friend who experienced that awful half hour in that shop. I want to understand, and I want to be part of the healing of the nation and the restoration of our nation and the people who are diminished and hurt and suffering because of racial injustice and prejudice. So Jesus didn't ignore it, and one part suffers, we all suffer. We're not to ignore it, church. But we do need to know what to do. And this is why the Word of God is so brilliant. Every answer that we need is in the Bible. And if you turn to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to listen to the words of Jesus. He confronted racism. And he shows us how to confront it in our own lives so that we can be part of the answer, not become a problem. So that the Church of Jesus Christ can be the body of Christ and bring healing where it is needed and restoration where it is needed and honor where it's needed. And in this story, Jesus uses a parable, which is like a story that describes what he means. It gives us a picture of really the message that he is saying. And before I say this, I just want to give some background to the Jews and the Samaritans, because these were two different cultural groups, similar background, but actually they'd separated because of their race and because of their religion. The Jews actually felt superior in race and religion to the Samaritans, so much so they wouldn't even walk through where the Samaritans lived. They stayed outside, separate, superior. And, you know, you find with race, with anybody that diminishes, anybody who diminishes anyone, there's a superiority that is actually very offensive. And it's a very destructive thing to be proud and to have a higher estimation of yourself based on the color of your skin, on your education, your social standing, being a woman or a man, whatever the prejudice is. But this was racism happening 2,000 years ago. And Jesus brings a story that actually shows us from Scripture what to do and how to respond. And he was approached by this lawyer, this Jewish lawyer, who said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So he's asking questions about eternal life. Now, you and I would say, well, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus was very wise, and he always knew the right answers because he always knew the motive of the person who was asking the question. And so he says, what do you say the answer is? This is Luke 10, verse 27. And Jesus answered, the lawyer answered and said, this is the right answer, I'm sure. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then he said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus was quite impressed, actually. You've answered rightly. That's right. They are the two greatest commandments. And then the lawyer, kind of feeling even strengthened by getting things right, because that's what's important to the religious kind of mindset. I've got to get everything right. To justify himself, he says, who's my neighbor then? Let's narrow it down, because for him, as a Jew, there's no way a Samaritan would be a neighbor. Nothing to do with a Jew. And anyway, he probably just thought, me and my house, they're my neighbors, and even a few people outside that little circle. But Jesus tells a story that actually describes and gives the answer for the issues of racism, prejudice, and actually you will know the answer already, it's love. But he says this is how it works out. It's not just knowing the answer, this is how it's to work out in real life. And so Jesus tells the story, and a lot of you will know it, the Good Samaritan it's called. And he says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and was stripped of his clothing, wounded, and the thieves departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and looked and passed by on the other side, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he responded, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come round again, I will repay you. So, Jesus said, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer, humbled, challenged, corrected, said, he who showed mercy or compassion on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Amazing story. Because the religious ones, in name only, did nothing about it. They passed on by. The one who was actually hurting was ignored. Maybe they said, I'm a bit busy, I've got my own family to take care of, I've got all on. Maybe they said, I'm going to a meeting, can't stop now. And the Samaritan, who's actually culturally separate, racially different, saw there was a problem, that this man was half dead and had been hurt by other people. And I think this is the greatest role that you and I can play in this generation for every issue, is that when people have been hurt by other people, it's not our job to be the police force and run around and find the thieves. Yes, we need to speak out against injustice, but it's our job to bring healing and to restore people who've been broken and beaten by thieves, by people. And this Samaritan crossed the road. He saw and he moved. He didn't ignore what was going on, the problem in somebody else's life. And he essentially did what Jesus has done for all of us. He gave sacrificially what he had, he gave. He gave oil and wine to help with the wounds. And you know, we've got an anointing to heal the brokenhearted. He at personal expense, actually put him in a hotel and said, I'll pay the bills, make sure he's okay. And I love this guy. He didn't stick around for a fanfare and applause. He just went on his way and said, I'll come back and pay the bill later. He didn't need the applause of being someone who's just showing what a good neighbor is like. And I actually think we've got to be careful not to say this isn't my problem. I think we need to rush in and understand, at least ask some questions and say, are you guys okay? Are my black brothers and sisters okay? We're here to, as a body, not just as leaders, because this is how the body heals itself. The whole, each part does its share, heals the one that is hurting, picks up the child that has hurt their knee or been hurt by someone else, and brings comfort, and even at great personal expense goes the extra mile to make sure that our brothers and sisters who've been wounded by others will be healed by us. And as a church, we don't speak out in this moment judging and criticizing and joining all the noise of violence and hate. The answer that Jesus has for this world is love. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. The one that's close, the one that's here, the one that you're in touch with, love them as yourself. There was last weekend, I saw a movie clip on BBC News on my phone. I think it was on Monday. There was a demonstration from Black Lives Matter and a counter demonstration from English Defence League. And in this moment, they clashed, and the English Defence League, everybody else left, but one man was left on the ground, and some of the Black Lives Matters people were behaving violently and kicking, and would have probably badly hurt, if not killed, this man. And one black man and his friend saw, who was protesting in that protest, saw what had happened, what was happening to this man. And his friends rang round and became a shield. And the black man who is hated by the English Defence League. Incredible, isn't it? It's the parable of the Good Samaritan being played out. Hated. He went and picked him up, took him fireman's lift over his shoulder, and took him to safety. That is the essence of the message, that whoever hurts, it's not our job to add our fists and our hate and our opinions even that can hurt other people. It's our job to run in and heal and stand against injustice. Anyone who diminishes you, I will stand with you, because God himself honored you so much that he became man, died on a cross, because he values you so much and he values me so much that there will be neither male nor female. Culturally, we're just one in Christ, not separated from God and each other. And so when one part suffers, it matters. It matters that we see, and it matters we don't walk across the other side of the road and do nothing about it. For me, the word answers how we're to live. And as a pastor of a diverse church, it is my goal that we live out the ways of Jesus as a congregation. And to our black brothers and sisters who we love and are so grateful to be part of the body of Christ with you, all of us sons in Christ Jesus, we want to pour oil and wine. We don't want to cross over and misunderstanding or just ignore, it's not my problem. We want to walk around in your shoes like I did with, I had to really, with that pastor who spoke out. We want to be part of the answer and love you and affirm you and value you as we value all others. May this word, the word of God, be the light and the direction we need in this particular issue and problem and injustice. And we do speak out, but we also run in to heal. I think, I started life in Africa. And I'm going to finish with this. And I was blessed to have parents who fought against racism and devaluing people. And I grew up in a home that was really healthy in its value of others and always kind of outward looking, not just introspective, it's just about us. And becoming part of the answer was the issue, not being a problem. And I've seen the effects of apartheid, which was both, like the Jews and the Samaritans, a religious base faith that one race is superior to another. Now that's from the pit of hell. It's got to be in the mind of Satan, because it just so is foreign to Christianity. It's foreign to the Word of God, and it's foreign to the love of God, the heart of God for people. And the damage and destruction that that system brought, with white supremacy, it's just unbelievable. Now the Jews have had it, the Bosnia, the genocide in Rwanda, we've seen incredible waves of this racist spirit that actually has its source in Satan. And we are here to represent both the peace that comes through forgiveness, and that's all part of what is needed for all of us, that we forgive those who sin against us. We're part of those who must forgive, but we must not adopt the culture of our day and the infection that both ignorance walking on the other side and a lack of compassion but lack of understanding can bring. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that we as a church will be a home for all. No matter what your background, no matter what, you will find a family here with us. We want to be the family of a God who loves us and brothers and sisters who love one another. And any part that's hurting, we don't say it's not our problem. We run in to help to heal and restore those who've been broken. And the other thing that we're called to do as a church is to pray. God promises that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray, he will heal our land. Now we realize that we're in days of massive issues with the pandemic, with racism, and with all the lies and the hate and the turmoil that's happening and the economy and upheaval. We need God to heal our nation. Don't forget to pray, because only he is the answer. Jesus is the answer for our nation. And we're going to get together on Wednesday night for our prayer meeting. I pray that you will come and be part of those who are sowing in prayer for the healing of our nation. But may you know that to love your neighbor as yourself and to suffer as one member of your body suffers, run in to heal and to restore those who need restoration. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are just that heavenly, that you're above it all. You're perfect. You're a perfect, everlasting Father. Thank you that you teach us your ways so that we can walk in your truth. And thank you, Jesus, that you didn't ignore our plight, our suffering, our affliction, our sickness, but you came down into skin. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that you, God, should humble yourself to even the point of death, death on a cross for us. You suffered so that we could live. And Lord, I thank you that we're in days where your Word, your light, shows us the way to go. That in your light, the light of your Word, we see. And I pray that your Word would guide our path through, that we would stand with all those who are suffering from racism, that we would bring oil and wine, healing, and personally sacrifice our time, our conversations, give time to people who need to talk about what's going on, and pray and minister healing. But I also pray, Father, that wherever we can, in our workplaces, we will speak out against injustice. In our schools, that our children will be a voice, Lord, against all injustice and discrimination. And that we as the body of Christ would truly reflect what Jesus gives us the power to do, to love even our enemies. Those who hate, Lord, like that black man with that man from the English Defence League, I thank you that we've even got the power through your Spirit living in us to love those who hate us. Jesus, you're the answer. And I thank you, Lord, that we as the body of Christ will also be the answer for each other and for a world that needs the greatest love that has ever known to man. Your love through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm pleased to have managed to speak to you about that today. It's been quite a burden on our hearts as pastors to rightly divide the word of truth in a way that we trust him will work effectively in our relationships with one another and others in the world. And bless you. I hope we see you and join together for the healing of our nation on Wednesday night. Be blessed.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.